It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer.
My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic, and also joining us from IndyNation.com, Mike Koff. Ed, I'm going to start with, most Notre Dame fans are logical. They're not very emotional. They don't go by.
Seriously?
And if you take the Brian Kelly 2.0 reboot, each year we've done better, and therefore logic would dictate that we're going to play for the national title this year.
I got two big reasons
why that isn't going to happen, and they're on the schedule. But outside of that, what are the major challenges you think as to why it's a tough gig for Notre Dame to get back to the playoffs?
Well, I don't think, you're going back to 2012 for a sort of a meaningful, not meaningful, but a really, a big sort of Power Five road win, right? So Oklahoma, I think. So with Georgia and Michigan on the slate away from home this year, that's a pretty tall order. But I actually think.
I heard something. Yeah. Did you hear this? This is crazy. I just heard this yesterday. Notre Dame on their schedule has seven opponents who have a bye week before they play.
Oh, right. Yeah, they've been talking about that for a while. The Swarbrick interviews with Eric Hansen from the South Bend Tribune recently addressed that, and I guess it's a function of a couple things. Number one, it's a two bye week season, right? So Notre Dame has a bye week a week from Saturday, right, and then also prior to the Michigan game. So remember, we've got to buy prior to Michigan, which I think is a good thing. So teams can, because they've got two buys this year, they can sort of be a little bit more strategic in where they position that second buy. And hell, it's a compliment.
Yeah, no, it is. It is a compliment. I agree with you. What, Coffee, what do you think? Where's the optimism for this year? I mean, what would be a reason why we might get back to the playoffs? Or do you think that's not even feasible?
Well, the optimism this year would be just in the overall improvement of the offense. I think Ian Book started out the season great, but then as you started to get more and more film on him, a lot of defensive coordinators saw that his touch on the long ball wasn't all that good, and he had some accuracy problems. I think it was outside of 20, 30 yards. So that's going to make a difference on how you play your safeties. I think that if you're more willing to take the risk of getting beat by a long ball that Book can't necessarily complete, that allows you to bring your guys up, and it makes it harder to run the ball. It makes the short passing game tougher, stuff like that. I think Notre Dame is going to win the national championship. Ian Book has to show that he can make defensive coordinators pay for bringing guys up. He needs to be able to beat you over the top, because if he can't put the fear of a 35-yard touchdown pass in you, there's really nothing we're going to be able to do. Or not nothing, but it's going to make it a lot harder. I mean, you're not going to go into Athens and beat Georgia if you can't put the ball over the top and make them play their safeties back a little.
Right. No, I think you're exactly right about that, because we're not going to have the strength of the running game. At least I don't see it right now at the surface. We'll find out after the first couple of games, but Book is going to have to air it out. I even think they're going to have to gamble a little bit more on offense if they're going to come away with some steel wins. At Georgia and at Michigan are going to be tough ones to come by. But, Ed, a lot of times you catch scuttlebutt about what's going on in practice. I happen to talk to somebody who would know. I'm not going to name his name, but apparently Book is looking a lot better than he did last year, which is kind of amazing with the season that he had. But that's what I heard. I don't know if you got anything to validate that.
Well, I think sort of the consensus was that it was a little bit of a mixed bag, and then there have been a couple of very sharp performances in terms of what the media has seen. But, I haven't heard anything different than that, other than he should be better. Last year was the first year that he really played, and first time, seeing defenses making checks, doing all those things that a quarterback needs to do. I mean, I'm a big believer in quarterback play. You know, the more you play, the better you get. And if you have the basic tools, which I think Ian Book has, I mean, I've always said that he's the quarterback that reminds me the most of the Notre Dame quarterback that reminds me the most of Joe Montana since Joe Montana. Just sort of the way he moves, the way he runs the ball, the way he rolls out, sort of his demeanor. So I think, you know,
he reads the rush really well.
Yeah.
Too.
You know,
he steps in at the right spot.
Yeah. I mean, I think he'll continue to get better. I mean, you know, I think it'll be really interesting to see how he utilizes his different receivers. I think, you know, when he first started, when he really sort of racked up the numbers in the middle of the season last year, starting with Wake, what was impressive about his performance was that, you know, a lot of times he had, you know, he had 20, 21 completions to six or seven different receivers, right? And, you know, he's going to need to do that again, especially breaking in some new guys who have yet to catch a pass in a Notre Dame uniform. So I do agree that because a great quarterback can win you a game or two a season that you shouldn't win or that you shouldn't have won, right?
Exactly right.
That's going to be, you know, that's going to be Michigan, Georgia, Stanford, you know, USC, one of those games. If Ian Book plays great this year, Notre Dame will win one of those games when they maybe shouldn't. But if he just plays well or is good or plays like he played last year in big games, et cetera, then I think, you know, then they're much more likely a 10-2, 9-3 football team.
I'd agree with that. Coffee, you know, obviously one of the bright spots on the defense is going to be the defensive line. And usually when that, I mean, this could be the best defensive line we've had in 20 years. And what that does normally, when you're that good on the defensive front, your linebackers rack up a bunch of tackles. We got a bunch of young guys and new guys playing there, and that might get exposed a little bit, but you never know. It all depends on how they play. I mean, after the first snap, we're going to know probably in Louisville, but that's probably one of the concerns on defense, I would think. Wouldn't you agree?
I absolutely would. I mean, you're replacing a lot of talent in the linebacking core. I think for everything I've read so far from like practice reports, I mean, with the usual caveats, I'm not at practice and stuff like that, but it really seems like no one in the linebacker core has really jumped up and taken control and said, okay, I'm going to be the guy. And if you can have a linebacker like when we were talking about 2012 earlier, a guy like Manti Te'o, who granted was incredibly talented, but also who provided the leadership and could say, okay, I'm the one who's going to push this group. I'm the one who's going to make us better. Now, there's a school of thought that said if you have a group of guys who are good, and I don't mean to say that in a pejorative sense, who are talented and who have a good camaraderie and are really solid playing together, then the group becomes more than the sum of its parts. I don't know, looking at the two deep, whether I'm necessarily seeing that. I mean, there's, like you said, there's a lot of freshmen, a lot of sophomores in these groups, and guys who, I mean, I think they're very anxious to prove themselves. I'm just certainly hoping they can, because as good as the defensive line is, the mismatches they create are, as you said, are supposed to help the linebackers succeed and really make a lot of tackles, but those tackles have to be made. And if they're
then you start missing those tackles, and then you get problems. But the strength picks back up when you then get into the secondary, especially at the safety positions. You know, Gilman's probably going to be one of the better safeties in the nation this year, I think. I mean, I just thought he was awesome last year. And I got to believe, you know, he's only going to have gotten better. But there is some strengths back there, at least on the surface, barring some injuries. But do you agree?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that, you know, when you look at the progress Jalen Elliott has made, you look at sort of the spark that Gilman brought to the team last year. And the nice thing about those guys is, you know, when we reflect on sort of the defenses that we've loved to watch in the past, especially Notre Dame defenses, you know, it's the ball hawking is what is so enjoyable to watch and really sort of makes plays. You know, Julian Love knocked down, I mean, it seemed like he knocked down four or five passes a game. I mean, I know it wasn't that much, but yeah. I know he set a record. I mean, when you defend passes like that, when you're around the ball And when you throw into the mix Sean Crawford, who might play a little bit of safety, might play a little bit of nickel, might start at corner, you know, he obviously has instincts for the ball. You know, that's what you need, and you can make up for a lot. So, you know, it's pretty clear to me that the formula for beating Notre Dame for an opposing offensive coordinator, at least at the beginning of the year, is going to be to try and run the football against Notre Dame, because obviously it has, you know, three, maybe four very, very good / elite pass rushers. You know, Okora and Kareem, I think, are close to that elite level. We'll see sort of if they fulfill the promise that they showed last year. And their backups, Hayes and 91, are excellent pass rushers as well, or at least show that they've got the ability to get around guys. Maybe finishing the deal and actually getting a quarterback to the ground can be a different story. We've got to pick it up in that area. But I would say that, you know, we're an injury away from being pretty soft in the middle. I mean, MTA and Lacey and Heinisch, I mean, there's not a whole lot behind them. And if we get a little thin in that area, you know, it's going to be, you know, our defensive approach is going to have to be sort of load up to stop the run and leave some guys on an island. I still think we can win football games that way, because I think we are pretty sort of talented at safety and in the secondary. But that's a much tougher, sustainable defense, you know, to be successful during the course of the year. So, obviously Brian Kelly has, Brian Kelly's alluded to stopping the run. That worries some people, but I think if we can expect anything from these young linebackers, is that Clark Lee has them pretty fundamentally sound, that when they, you know, when they get their arms around a guy, he goes down, that kind of stuff, because that's going to be pretty important.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Hey, Covey, I'm kind of curious. I mean, you know, we jokingly said at the start of the show about the reboot of Brian Kelly 2.0, but this season may be a huge indicator in that and how successful that's been, simply because, you know, I would say that I think, looking at the schedule, 10-2 is probably not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, it's, you would think that at Georgia and at Michigan are two tough ass, and then you're going to run the table on everybody else. But, you know, I think that just the program as a whole and the depth of the team is something that we're probably going to see come to light here in this season. And all the more, I think we're going to see the continuation of that reboot being successful. Do you agree?
Well, I agree. I think this is certainly going to be a strong indicator. I mean, if everybody says, okay, 2 years ago was where Brian Kelly 2.0 started, okay, well then we're in year three, and the conventional wisdom is that a new coach of quality comes in by year three, he really has things humming and stuff's really moving along. We didn't have any major assistants to replace this year, so we've got the continuity. And looking at the schedule, I'm not as high on Michigan as some other people are. I think there's they've got a strong whiff of overrated around them, and coupled with the fact that we've got our bye before them, I see that being a win. Actually, the two game, I mean, obviously Georgia is the proof in the pudding. You got to go back to 2012 for a win against a ranked Power 5 team on the road. So this is certainly the chance to break that streak, and I don't think Georgia is going to be down in any sense of the word. I am a little bit concerned about the Virginia game, if only because, I mean, granted, yes, Virginia, but they're supposed to do real well in the ACC this year. They're sitting right behind that trip to Georgia, which if it goes bad, I mean, I hate to use the phrase trap games, but if there is such a thing as a trap game, I think Virginia would be, because Virginia is, I think, good enough to win given the right circumstances. But like going to Michigan, going to Stanford, I'm not necessarily convinced those are going to be, we're going to have to work
losses
for,
yeah,
them, but I see 11-1 as very, very possible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I certainly know it. I wouldn't be upset about that. I mean, all the more credit in the world if they're able to pull that off. But, you know, Ed, I think that the thing here is that with any season, you get bounces that go your way and you get ones that don't, right? And at least for me, going to Georgia, we certainly aren't going to get any calls. That I can promise you. So there isn't going to be any help there.
Well, I'm going to that game.
Oh, by the way,
excellent. We didn't get a couple key calls when they came here either. So,
just like Clemson, we didn't get any calls in the first half in Clemson.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it is. Yeah. You know.
So, no, I think at this juncture, I mean, I want to see what happens Monday night, but. You know, I'm leaning towards taking the points when Notre Dame plays Georgia. Again, the thing that concerns me is their strengths. You know, are their offensive line and running the football. You know, I think if we could just sort of slow them down up front a little bit, keep it close for a half. And again, don't want to jump ahead, but. I think Louisville's going to be a good football program again. I like their coach, and I like the way he's kind of approaching this. But I think they've got too big a hill to climb after just 6 months of working together. And New Mexico is a win at home. So you get down to Athens, and I think you benefit from Ian Book. Playing at Jerry World last year and the speed of that game. I think you benefit from Chase Claypool, running against Clemson deep backs, that quality level of athlete up and down the roster at Georgia. A lot of these guys saw last December 29th or whatever it was in Dallas. So, that helps for sure. And I think you got to get a little bit of we're getting ahead of ourselves, but you got to hang in. You got to take a punch and give a punch there in the first and second quarter, like any big game on the road. It's the same, it's the same formula, right? You limit the mistakes to one or none, and you just play tough physically and mentally. You stay in it, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in a one score game. Heading into the fourth quarter, and that's I think what you. It's a great measuring stick, obviously, because it has playoff implications, et cetera, for Notre Dame. But I think it really tells you sort of, you guys were talking about Brian Kelly 2.0 and all this stuff, but I think that game in Athens is really going to tell us a lot about where this program actually is. And sort of if it really has jumped a tier, and it's fighting to get in. As being sort of consistently right below that Alabama Clemson sort of duopoly that we have in college football right now, but I'm excited about it. I actually think they're going to cover and might even win the game if I had to guess right now. But again, like every team except Alabama and Clemson and maybe Georgia, Notre Dame's an injury or two away, another injury or two away. From having some serious deficiencies that opposing coaches can exploit.
And they've unfortunately had a few already preseason here that especially Michael Young for the most part I think is the biggest one because I think he would have been an impact player right away. But Cole Kemet doesn't help either, being that we're kind of thin at the tight end.
Yeah, he seems the key to me because he seems to be the best, so the most.
Experienced.
Yeah,
right.
The most
exactly.
Travis Kelce or whatever the guy's for the Chiefs name is. He seems the most like that guy. You leave him in the game for some very serviceable inline blocking, and you also get him one on one.
He's going to get you that first
down.
Yeah,
exactly. And he's got enough wiggle where, he breaks a tackle and he turns a little 7 yard flare into a 15 yard gain. Those kind of plays really make a difference in big games. It's the playmaking that matters, right? So it's the knocking the ball loose if you're on the defensive end. It's the 4 yard gain turning into the 14 yard gain, by a Jafar or by a Kemet on a short, intermediate pass. I think they'll miss him at tight end quite a bit. But I guess there's still a chance he'll play for Georgia, in the Georgia game. So you never know.
Slight, yeah, I think they're saying slight chance. But, Coffee, I kind of think I know what you're already going to say, but why don't you just repeat it? Because it sounds like you've already got your mind made up of how we're ending up this year.
No, I've got a lot of faith in 11-1. I think I would love to say we can win down in Athens. I know that's really, really going to be a tall order. And that's certainly going down to Athens to win a game is certainly not an easy thing to ask for any team to do, but I expect them to beat the rest of the schedule. We've recruited better than them. I'd like to think we're better coached than most, if not all of them. So I don't see any reason why 11-1 can't happen.
Well, I'm going to jump on your back and say 11-1 as well. I do think it's doable. I think it's a bit of a stretch, but I do think it's doable. And I think the Georgia game, we're going to know. I mean, if they play really well, play tough, and even lose that game, I could easily see the, you know, momentum carrying that through, and knowing that we're one and done if we lose after that, we're out. You know, that may be the driving force that we need.
Well, I don't know about that. I think Notre Dame can still lose at Georgia and get into the playoffs, provided that Georgia loses a couple games, because really the only team that would have a case of going over an 11-1 Georgia ND team would be an 11-1 Georgia team, and because they would say, hey, head to head.
Yeah, no. So, what I meant was if we lose again after Georgia, we're done.
Oh no, absolutely,
and
absolutely. I agree.
Yeah.
With that.
So, but I think that, you know, that pressure on the team might be enough to carry us through. But I don't know, Ed. Are you going to stick out like a sore thumb and say something else other than 11-1?
Well, you know, Notre Dame has sort of avoided the bad loss the last couple of years. So, you know, I have some concerns about BC, about Pitt, about Virginia, about Stanford, about Navy, because, you know, usually not too much time goes by for most teams, for most programs, that one of those sort of junkyard dog teams kind of comes up and catches you on a day when you're not your best, or you're coming off an emotional win, or you're coming off a road trip. And like you said, they're going to be all rested and ready to play us. You know, I could see Notre Dame struggling on the road for a while against Duke. You know, I could see, you know, that game will be a big game for them, and they're a very well coached team. So, you know, I don't know. I'm going to say 10-2. And I hate to say it, but I'm going to say, you know, there's a sort of an unexpected loss there. I also just have this bad feeling about the injury bug, that it's going to, you know, I mean, there's, you know, we haven't really talked about the offensive line. We're kind of taking them for granted, but they were not dominant last year. You know, they were good, but they were not dominant. Can they take
not
a step
all,
forward?
Right.
You know, I mean, they need to, this is a football team that needs to, you know, to get average 200 yards a game on the ground. It really does. I mean, I don't see why it shouldn't. And we need to see the offensive line sort of under Jeff Quinn kind of take that, see that development step this year where they really sort of push some people around. But again, you know, an injury or two there, and maybe you're talking about a sort of a different type of outcome this season. So I'll say 10-2. You know, I think it's a successful season. I think all of us would just really like to see Notre Dame win a football game in December or January, whenever that ends up being, especially, against a quality opponent, and kind of, you know, deliver a New Year's Six or whatever it is, win, you know, and kind of finish 11-2 or something like that, I think would be a good campaign. Doesn't mean that I think 11-1 in a playoff is out of the realm of possibility. But it just feels a little.
Yeah, you got to get lucky.
Yeah, you got to get lucky. Yeah, right. You got to have
some bounces. Got to come our way. We got to be injury free. You know, book goes down and we might as well forget it. Then we're going to be in deep trouble. But yeah, you're right. The injury bug is a concern. But it's going to be interesting. It's exciting, at least for us, to go into the season having just made the playoffs finally. And you know, with each game, it's just going to build. So it's going to be a lot of fun watching them this year. But
I think that's always the fun part of a season like this. Is there's a like Mike Coffey said, there's a bunch of freshmen and sophomores, or a bunch of sophomores and juniors who are going to take another step this year. You know, whether it's you know, the guy playing Rover, Woo, or you know, maybe it's Lawrence Keys in the slot who's going to get a chance now at the beginning of the year, or Lindsay, or there's going to be somebody who steps forward that we have not seen on a field, you know, you play in a game yet, that's really going to, you know, it's going to wow us. Jack Lamb, maybe. I love can you have a better freaking name for a linebacker besides Jack Lamb, exactly. Burt, or whatever, you know? So
talk about high expectations.
Yeah, exactly. So that's going to be a fun part of the year, seeing these guys develop into terrific players over the next couple of years. So because there's definitely the talent there.
Cool. Yep. All right, good deal. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanik and Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.